OTB
AM. In association with AIR, get AIR Sport free with AIR Broadband.
Delighted to say that Galway football manager Kevin Walsh joins us on the line now. Kevin, congratulations on the big win on Sunday. It's obviously a huge win, and we'll know later on in the summer how big the win is in the context of the summer. But from your own perspective, it must be a very, very satisfying one, not only to get one over your local rivals in Mayo, not only to win in Mayo, but also because there was imperfections in the win. So I'm sure that the lads have their feet on the ground going into that Sligo game.
Yeah, I suppose, look, it's still only the first round of the championship, but I suppose the fact that it's maybe two heavyweights from having been Division 1, I suppose it's probably gathered a lot of momentum in the lead-up to it. So at the same time, I suppose, as you said, there's loads to improve on that, but the batting qualities were there, which is important. And look, it wasn't. I'm sure there's plenty of flaws in both sides yesterday, really.
Yeah, you mentioned the hype and all the talk about this game going into it. Have you ever seen anything like this in the month of May in the qualifier era in terms of hype going into a championship match?
I suppose, to be honest, we probably didn't see a lot of hype, to be honest. We're just kind of behind the door trying to get our own side right. So you probably obviously hear people saying there's a lot of hype out there. To be honest, I didn't overly experience it myself, and I think the lads didn't either, to be honest. So I suppose, look at it, it's probably on the Twitter and the Facebooks, which I'm not on, so I probably don't see as much as you guys do.
Yeah, we saw plenty of it anyway, I can assure you that much, Kevin. But even if your players did see it, like even just chatting to a few of them after the game on Sunday, it seems that it's a camp that's not really penetrable to this sort of thing, to any sort of kind of outlandish criticism or anything that might be said in social media or any hype, that there is a good kind of collective mentality there, which isn't necessarily something that you can teach.
Yeah, I suppose maybe over time, I suppose like it's really, you know, maybe the message is getting across, it's about ourselves really. And you know, if when you win the matches or lose them, we genuinely have to treat them the same. As in, you know, to look and see where we can learn and to try and improve. And I suppose that kind of a mentality, we're hoping is hitting home. And it can be, you know, oftentimes you're judged by results, but we like to kind of move that a small bit to judge it by performance more than results. You know, sometimes I think you can get lucky wins and unlucky losses. And you know, it wasn't that when you know that on the Tuesday night you're going to be looking back and people resistic as they can. But, you know, I think people now maybe don't be thinking about the outcomes as much as they would in the past. So that's kind of important, just keep the head down and keep learning.
Yeah, like when we've been analysing this game from Sunday over the past day or so, it's kind of been the first half that we've really got our teeth sunk into because of the red card and how that changed the game and how you had to approach the game differently because Mayo approached the game so differently. But the one metric that we can read into from Sunday that's kind of been a constant theme from the league is the lack of goals you concede. You conceded one goal throughout the entire league and now in the championship. Is that a specific thing you're targeting or is that just the results of another process within the camp?
Probably a bit of both, to be honest. At the end of the day, every time there's a goal scored, it's a huge momentum changer for another team. So you'd be hoping not to concede too many at the same time. It's not all about just not stopping goals. You know, we'd be hoping that the other aspects of forward play would be improving as well. So, but it's trying to just get as close as you can to the complete performance, which is a long way away at the minute, but. You know, you kind of work on new things every single day. I think maybe sometimes there can be a habit of working on too much because you hear about this and hear about that, and it's about, you know, slowly probably getting the smaller things right so that it stays ingrained. And I suppose that maybe it's a slow process, but one that we kind of work in the camp, and as I said, just keep the head down and keep working. And the lads are, in fairness, are doing the best they can on that, and we just kind of try to continue that.
Yeah, that's very much evident on the pitch, what you just mentioned there, the kind of incremental gains, because there's a lot of people, especially from Galway, the likes of Michael Meehan, who we speak to quite often on the show, who's at pains to point out that this isn't necessarily a whole new Galway setup this year. The kind of the toughness, the defensive solidity isn't a new thing. It's just an improved form of Galway this year. And certainly when you look at that defensive structure that we saw on Sunday, which was very, very effective, the one thing that really stuck out to me from that was just how fluid it was, that players could move into different positions. It was almost zonal marking at times, that it was all one unit and everybody was comfortable no matter what little position they had outside the D to stop Mayo plugging the gaps in the middle of the park. Is that something you've worked hard on?
It would be, to be honest. Yeah, we'd work hard on that. It's to get the clarity of what we're trying to do. But at the same time, look at this. I haven't seen it yet, obviously, but there would have been a few gaps there. You wouldn't be too proud of at times as well. But because you're going to have that Mayo are quality side, you know, in their own home pitch, and you know they were obviously, I guess the last 2 years were certainly really up for it. And I thought maybe the game itself, then just, you know, it was fairly defensive on both sides probably, but that's the way the nature of it, with the breeze and maybe the sending off and different things happen, you know. But look, I suppose we can only look after our own camp, to be honest, and there's plenty to improve on, yes, to be honest.
Yeah, like I mentioned, the building the defensive structure there, building on the other end of the pitch has been fascinating as well, and it's something we're starting to become more familiar with in terms of the individuals of this Galway team. Has that been something you've put a lot of thought into in terms of the different facets of your forward line, to have kind of a big man, to have some runners, to have a good free taker in the likes of Barry McHugh, like the different pieces of the jigsaw? Or are you simply just saying to yourself, I'm going to pick the best six forwards?
To be honest, it's hard to know at times. Say, like, which is, I suppose maybe for the last number of years, we're trying to develop a squad as much as anything else, and it's in an area now where, you know, to be fair, sometimes you might know exactly which is the best six. You have to pick people on form as well, and sometimes it'll be opposition or whatever will be there. So, like, we'd be certainly hoping that we wouldn't be in an area to say that this is our best six and that's our best six only. I think there's lads that are fighting at the minute, and that's something we're trying to get across all the time. And you probably saw some of the subs that became packed yesterday. So it's not just your best six forwards. So sometimes it's not the best six on a given day or depending on form as well. So they're fighting with each other at the minute, which is important. And as I said, impacts are important as well.
Yeah, you mentioned the subs there. Like, Sean Kelly was the one that stuck out for a lot of us because, as far as I'm aware, it was his first championship appearance, and you throw in the likes of Kieran Duggan, Sean Andy O'Callaghan, and Barry McHugh, as I mentioned a couple of moments ago. It's hard to believe that those lads made their championship debuts on Sunday, because they looked like they'd been around the block for quite some time.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, maybe going back 2 years ago, I think in the same pitch, there was five more debuts at the time. So there's been a strong turnover over the last number of years, but behind the scenes, they're working really hard, and you know, using some desperateness and obviously the league, you know, new faces are coming in. And to be fair, I suppose the lads you have for the last 4 years, it's becoming a little bit easier that when new fellas come in, that they're also now, you know, showing the ropes as well, which probably makes it a bit easier from our side. But I suppose that's where you're looking at, you know, the older guys standing up as leaders, not only just on the day of the match, but, you know, for the camp in general, to try and get the environment and that type of stuff as good as you can, that people actually want to be part of it and want to stay part of it. And that's, you know, with all the distractions that's going on in the world compared to 20 years ago in our own time, you know, the environment has to be as good as you can get it, so that people just, you know, enjoy what they're at as well. And I think there's a lot made out about sacrifices. You know, if someone sees it as a sacrifice, they want to struggle. Because to be honest with you, most fellas should enjoy what they're at, and just hope and their own lads, they're all enjoying it. And to be honest, it seems to be at the minute, which is important. And as well, if enjoying it, you're probably learning more. So
yeah, that's very interesting. So are you preaching to, no, not preaching isn't the right word, but are you kind of having conversations with the players about their lives outside of football to ensure that they're happy humans as well as happy footballers?
Look at it, it's awful. It's a known fact that the better person, or the better person feels about themselves and how life is going, will make you give the chance to perform better. So, absolutely, you know, you look at people's circumstances, you know, which is tough at the minute, college exams are right in the middle of this game, which wasn't easy, and little things like that's going on in people's lives. So we try our best to make that as smooth as we can. But, you know, that probably takes a lot of time, but probably, as you said, better people make better players.
Yeah, because it seemed that there was almost a worrying trend developing in the GAA a few years ago where, like, you were a Gaelic footballer and that was going to be the number one priority, whereas it's refreshing to hear from you, but we've also heard from the Dublin camp, like Paul Flynn and Michael Darragh McCauley have been in the studio just telling us about how the likes of Pat Gilroy and Jim Gavin have been so encouraging to them in terms of their career, in terms of their own personal life, that it seems now the better teams are doing this, and that tide has been stopped, thankfully, and it's going the other way, where finally the GAA is starting to promote these things in people's lives.
Yeah, I think, look, you can, as I said, the distractions that are there, be it other sports becoming more familiar in you know, local smaller areas and stuff like that. So it's about, again, somebody that has to enjoy it the rest of it, so that they don't see the sacrifice. And I suppose, you know, as I said to you, school work comes into that. It can be hard to get the balance, but I think the only way you get the balance is through communication. So we try to keep the lines open as much as possible. But that's probably where people can schedule their lives a bit better to make time.
You said that the camp doesn't really listen to anything that's going on outside of it. I'm not sure if you've seen any of the punditry around Sunday's game yet, but I just must put this one to you. Tomás O'Shea described Sunday's game as a poor advertisement for football. I'm not sure whether you agree with that. I know you said it was kind of a tight and tense game, but would you say that Sunday's game is a poor advertisement for football?
Depends on. I didn't actually see it yet, but you're going to have those games. I mean, there's been All-Ireland won in the past, maybe going back 15, 16, 17, 18 years ago, 12-9. You know, that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's probably whether it's scores or not, the games will take life as their own, whether there's a sending off or there's a breeze or there's whatever pressure's on, or if people are going to look at that position and have different tactics for that game, and all of a sudden you come up with, you know, two teams that get together and, you know, you just don't know how it's going to work out, and sometimes it turns into a war of attrition, and the war of attrition really is championship. And you know, while it's not pleasing to the eye sometimes, it, you know, at the end of the day, you try to do your best on a given day, and sometimes, as I said, if you go out with the two same plans, the two managers, sometimes it can't be the best watching in the world. But then again, what you've got then is kind of a tactical battle, and you've also got championship football where you've got to get stuck in. So, you know, look, if that's what's been out there or been put out there for the media, so be it. Look, we'll be meeting tonight, and we'll just have to look at it and again keep the head down.
Yeah, obviously, like the sending off kind of changed the way Mayo approached the game. They got a lot of bodies behind the ball as well, so that contributed to that. But like, I'm sure it's a positive from your perspective as well that you had that opportunity to try and break down a blanket defence, because you're now one of the best teams in the country, or more importantly, viewed as one of the best teams in the country. So when you come up against a team that perceive themselves to be weaker than your side, naturally you're going to come up against a defence like that again. So in a way, it was a dress rehearsal for coming up against teams that kind of rate you very, very highly.
Yeah, it's another side of what you've got to break down, I suppose. Excuse me. I suppose, you know, as we go further in the competition, and as everybody else goes further in the competition, they'll be trying new things. So, yeah, yesterday was against the Breeze in particular, when there was 40 men behind the ball. It was definitely hard to break down. I haven't said that, you know, that's what we've got to get used to. And as you said, if teams go out that way with us as well, we have to get better at that. So we'll analyse that again and see how we improve that as well, you know.
Yeah, and it is, of course, on to the next game. It will be kind of, as most people in a neutral perspective will say, the hardest way to win the Connacht Championship from Galway's perspective anyway, to beat Mayo, Sligo, and potentially, if you beat Sligo, Roscommon in the final, you would say that is the most difficult way to do it. So it's clearly on to the next one from your perspective. You said you're meeting tonight. Sligo's up next. You're going to be asked a lot over the next couple of weeks whenever you do more media before the Sligo game about your time at Sligo. What have you personally learned from your time there, and how has it made you as a manager?
I suppose it's like everything else when you start off any job. I suppose that's 10 years ago this year. So you start off any job, of course you're going to win, maybe with not a massive amount of experience, but it's important, I suppose, what kind of a team you surround yourself with as well. You know, you have to have visionaries there as well, and you know that you try to evolve all the time. You know, but Sligo, I had some good days in Sligo. Obviously, it's almost 5 years ago now, so you know, times have changed, football has changed, the way people analyse games has changed, and I suppose we have to change with that. But Sligo, it's the only game we're thinking of now. Very, very impressive over London, so you know, that's not easy either. And I think it's about a 10-point win there, so look, we just have to knuckle down now after we analyse this game tonight, and just pack it up and move on for 3 weeks' time.
Well, good luck with the analysis, good luck with the preparation, and very best of luck for the rest of the summer. Kevin Walsh, Galway Football Manager, thanks a million for joining us this morning.
OTB AM. In association with Air. Get Air Sport Free with Air Broadband.